Exodus 32. We read from verse 1 to verse 6. Exodus 32, 1 to 6. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graven tool, after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morning and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in Jesus' name. This morning, and maybe for the next, maybe one or two other meetings, we want to speak on a very, very important lesson to learn from this. And simply, this: speak up for righteousness when you should. Speak up for righteousness when you should. The Englishman says, a stitch in time saves nine. You can actually use that as a sub-theme, or even the message title itself. A stitch in time saves nine. Speak up for righteousness when you should. We are now entering the month of December, and one of the greatest gold calves ever made is going to be worshipped come December. On the 25th of December, Christians all over the world will be going to various places. Don't come here on that day. They're coming here, I think it's a Friday. It's going to be a prayer meeting. But all over the world, people who call themselves believers will be all over the place celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. That's the biggest gold calf that they ever made for humanity. And unfortunately, because nobody spoke up at the time, it's perpetrated till today. And woe to the man who will stand up and say that Christmas is not a Christian celebration. They will kill him. But by the grace of God, I've made up my mind. If it is dead, so be it. It's a gold calf, and it needs to be beaten down to pulp, made into dust, and thrown off. It doesn't exist as a Christian doctrine. It doesn't exist scripturally. There are several arguments that people can make. The bottom line is, God never asked us to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. If anything at all, he asked us to celebrate the death. And he didn't say we should wait until Easter to celebrate the death. Easter, by the way, is another gold calf. He said we should celebrate it as often as you do it. He didn't expect it to be once a year. There are many gold calves that were erected, and that's because people did not speak up when they ought to have spoken up. The theme is speak up when you should, not when you can. There's a difference between speaking up when you should and speaking up when you can. So we're going to look at that later. But we must remember that it is time for us to speak up for righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness is not my yardstick of measure. Righteousness is God's standard for human living. That's righteousness. Righteousness is the standard that God has put in place for living. Not your standard. Not my standard. Not the standard of a church or of a denomination. For example, God's standard for Christians to live in marriage is that there's no divorce. That's God's standard. Is that the standard? The fact that one pastor somewhere has been divorced 3-4 times and been remarried that number of times does not make it right. That is not the standard we are following. Because people are not speaking up, a lot of unrighteousness is going on, and it is becoming seemingly righteousness. You hear that so and so person preaches with her hair uncovered, and the move of God is there. So and so person has been divorced, and yet the power of God is flowing in his ministry. So and so person remarried, and things have not changed in the person's life. We fail to realize that it is not human standards that we're dealing with here. It is the standard of God. It's time for the believers in the world to speak up for righteousness when they should, not when they can. When should you speak up for righteousness? We'll just look at a few things here, and then we'll close. 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings 17 verse 1. 1 Kings 17 verse 1. This is where we first hear the name of a man called Elijah, ever in scripture. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." Gilead was on the other side of the Jordan. So if Elijah had to come and see Ahab in Samaria, he had to cross the river Jordan. From the land of Gilead, probably was a Reubenite or from one of those other tribes there. So he had to travel across the river to go to Ahab and to tell him this. Why did Elijah do this? Elijah understood the scriptures. So he was speaking up, or he was saying to Ahab, with the kind of iniquity and unrighteousness taking place in this land, I can tell you that there will be no rain, because God has promised a famine because of unrighteous acts. There shall be no rain until I say so. And he left. Today, invite a pastor to state house, and I'm not telling you that I'm immune, and his head is going to be swollen. He's going to be excited that the governor has invited him. Elijah went unannounced, or rather uninvited. He invited himself because he had a message. He gave it and left. I remember many years ago, when Babangida was president, a lot of people, Christians in quotes, would write him a letter that they had a message for the president from God. They will allow them to come to Dodan Barracks then. And then when they get to Dodan Barracks, they will give their prophecy, and by the time they are leaving, they will get a bag of money to go. And so it became a natural thing. Every year they had a word for the president. Meanwhile, the one they gave before, nothing has happened. And so the president he saw it as a joke. So these people are just looking for money. So when they come, give them the money. Take the message from them and then give them the money. And that's what happened. So every year, for I believe it's 8 years or so, they were forever prophesying. There was one friend who called Olabayo, I think. You should know that name. He was every year he had a prophecy for the president, which never came to pass. That's a false prophet. We need to speak up when these things are happening. But you know what happens to us believers? I don't know whether we call it decency, or whether to call it foolishness. We see things go wrong, and we keep our mouth shut. We just be there, we are quiet. We say, the Bible says, touch not my anointed, and do my prophet no wrong. And meanwhile, the so-called anointed is doing everything wrong. That fellow needs to be called under the table and told, my friend, what you are doing is wrong. Because whether you like it or not, he is leading many astray. And one day, his unrighteousness will become like righteousness. You need to speak up when evil is being done around you. You can't keep quiet. You mustn't keep quiet. I read an inscription somewhere in Philadelphia many years ago. It was about a Roman Catholic priest who had written something about the Nazis. He said, first, I can't remember all, but I'm trying to paraphrase that. First, they came for the, what was it now? First, they came for the opposition. He kept quiet. Then, they came for the homosexuals. He kept quiet. All these ones without trial, no? They would just grab opposition, they would kill them, nobody complained. Then they went for the homosexuals, they killed them, nobody complained. Then they went for the Jews and killed them, nobody complained. Then they went for the Pentecostals and killed them, nobody complained. Then when there was nobody else to kill, they came for him. And then he said, by the time they came for me, there was nobody to speak of. Because he didn't speak up. All the people who could have spoken up had been killed. And he couldn't speak up. Nobody would have to speak up for him. When evil is being done to other people, we need to speak up. We may think that, well, it doesn't concern us. It concerns you. You need to speak up. When you see things going wrong, you need to speak up. When things are going wrong, not just in society, because sometimes we tend to look at society, even in your own life, speak up to yourself. When you catch yourself thinking evil thoughts, you need to speak up to yourself. What are you doing? Are you crazy? Something wrong with you? Speak up when you are under pressure. There's nothing wrong with doing that. Had David spoken up when he was under that pressure to sleep with Bathsheba? Who knows? Maybe his story would never have, nobody would have mentioned the Bathsheba in the storyline. I wish brothers and sisters would speak up when they are under pressure. Say, pastor or sister, you should have somebody you can call and say, I don't know what's happening or I'm under this pressure. I think it was while we were in upper room that one of the guest ministers we invited on Christianity in the Marketplace came and shared his testimony of how he had agreed to pay some money up front or some money from a deal to someone. And then as he left, his heart smote him. And when he got to church, he called his ministers together and he spoke up. He said, something happened today. I need counsel. What should I do? He spoke up. Thank God. By the time they brought all kinds of counsel came, good ones, bad ones, evil, outright evil ones came, seemingly righteous ones came. But eventually God spoke to him and said to him, but you know what to do. And he was bold enough to go and say to the man, I'm not doing it again. We need to speak up. Hiding when you are under pressure does not help you. Because for all you care, we might see you in church. And yet, you are going to hell. We may even come to your funeral and preach a beautiful eulogy about how you were always in church on time, how you were always active in church, how you supported the work of ministry. We can say all those things. But as far as God is concerned, you are unrighteous, you are evil, you are wicked, and hell is where you are. But we are here, deceiving ourselves and deceiving every other person, that you are in heaven. And those who truly know you, who know what you have been doing, will just be there looking at us and say, see them deceiving themselves. They say they are Christians. They say they are born again. Can you imagine the case of that pastor, one poor pastor who worked in civil service, died in a plane crash. When he was being buried, the who is who amongst pastors, they are that buried. All the provincial pastors gathered because he was a loved pastor. He was always supporting the work of ministry. He was there whenever meetings were being held. They were there. They crowded the place. After the funeral, the same people who went for the funeral were put to shame. They realized that when they were now greeting the family, who is this one? There were two women there. He had two wives. And they didn't know they existed. Only one knew. We don't know what pressure he was under. He didn't speak up. And then later, when the issue of property sharing came up, they discovered that the civil servant had 7 billion naira in his account. A civil servant had 7 billion in his account. Pastor, supporting the ministry, funding the gospel. And what did we do when we heard that? We kept short. We didn't say anything. It took Ribadu to come and tell us openly that churches are supporting corruption. Ah, we wanted to have his head. How dare he speak about the church? Was he not speaking up when we couldn't speak up for the truth? We couldn't speak up for righteousness. He took an unbeliever, a sinner, in quotes, to tell us that we are supporting corruption. The other day, I was talking to a young man. He comes to church, but I know he's looking for salvation. He came to me and said, "Pastor, I want you to pray for me. I'm looking for political appointments." So I said, "Can you do what they do?" Then we got into all kinds of conversation. And then we came to one point. He said, in fact, he wants to write an article targeted at the church. I said, "Why?" He said that when he was in the political office in his state of origin, that one day he entered into the office of one of the people who would disburse funds to him. And as he was discussing with the man said to him, "Ah, that disbursement, when I give it to you, you have to send $2 million to my account." And I was looking at him, that we're supposed to use it for a project. He said, "Look," and then he spread invitation cards on his table. Chief launcher, co-launcher, supporting launcher, father of the day, this, that. Churches had invited a civil servant as chief launcher, as co-launcher, as father of the day, as so and so. He said to him, "By the way, you see that man that you met when you were coming in, this is his own invitation card. He's a pastor. How am I going to give all this money? Make sure you put $2 million in my account if you want me to release the funds." Said, "I plan to write a letter, write it and put it in the newspapers that the church is supporting corruption." And I agree. We are not speaking up. We are part of it. Remember when God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? And Abraham kept interceding. God said, "Don't worry, if I see 10, I won't destroy it." Quite frankly, I'm not sure that if God wants to destroy Nigeria, he'll find one. Myself inclusive. I'm not sure he's going to find one. One. Let's start being truthful with ourselves. What are we doing in church? What do we do when we come and stand and hear the word of God? Is it to go back and perform iniquities? How have we gotten our hearts so callous that the word of God no longer touches us to change us? It's just business as usual. How did we get ourselves to that place? Let's speak of where spiritual leaders are leading God's people astray. Let's speak of Deuteronomy chapter 18. "Don't be afraid of any, there is no retribution for speaking up against evil leaders, against corrupt spiritual leaders." I'm not even talking of speaking up against the civilians, against the unbelievers. They are sinners by nature. So whatever they are doing, let them do it. But let's speak to ourselves first. Then we can go out. When we have changed. Deuteronomy chapter 18, from verse 15. "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, and of thy brethren like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, They have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my word in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, How shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of..." Is that in your Bible? God says, "Don't tremble for such a man. Don't be afraid of such a man. There shall be no retribution whatsoever. When a prophet, a man gets up and speaks iniquity, misleading the children of God, that man should be challenged. That teaching should be challenged. A teaching that always points every time to people in your village as the ones doing you, there's something wrong with that message. There's something wrong with a teaching like that. And it must be pointed out. It must be brought to the fore. We cannot continue like this forever. I used to wonder why it was possible whenever I read the book of 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 7 Chronicles, why was it possible for kings to continue to do evil the way they did? I discovered that it was because the ones before them did evil and nobody spoke up. And then their sons continued, and their own sons continued, and they continued to perpetrate iniquity. Christmas is here to stay because somebody did not speak up. And now, you tell a Christian that Christmas is not a Christian, they will tell you, you are speaking heresy. And yet, Christmas has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. The fact that they put Christ doesn't make it a Christian function. Any more than the man who calls his son Christian makes that boy a Christian. He has to get up when he's grown up and say, I want to give my life to Jesus. That makes him a Christian. I remember one mechanic that we had. His name was Israel. And one young man said, No, your name is not Israel. You are Jacob. Israel is the prophecy. Now you are Jacob. Because you are a crook. So, the fact that there is Christ in it does not make it a Christian program or a Christian function. Was it yesterday, 28th of November or so, that your governor had a praise? Did they have it? They said they were having a praise program at the Spiff Civic Center. And they invited Ron Kennelly. As if, because Ron Kennelly is here, it makes it a praise to God. And Ron Kennelly, that person, they may not even know the iniquity that the fellow is performing. It doesn't make it right. It's time for us to speak up. I didn't hear your amen, though.
Amen.
Because some of you will not speak up because you are involved in it. But the Lord will deliver you first in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You need to speak up when you see others falling or about to fall. When you see other people falling or about to fall, you need to speak up. Because you are the one that God has called to stand in the gap for such a one. Oh, some will quote the scriptures and quote from, is it Galatians chapter 5 or so, or Galatians chapter 6. They say, the Bible says that when you see a brother who is fallen, you should gently bring him back. Lest you yourself, we are not saying we will not gently bring him back. The question is, did he fall by design or by accident? If it's by accident, just let's gently. But the one who fell by design, he needs to be chastised. Because he opened his eyes, kuru, and entered into the field. He needs to be chastised. Man of God said once, he was in a meeting with heads of churches in Nigeria here. And one of the heads of churches then said, God says that we should forgive our brothers who sin against us 70 times, 7 times. He said, therefore God himself must be willing to forgive 70 times, 7 times. And the subject under discussion at the time was the subject of adultery amongst pastors. What was that man saying? That God must forgive him 490 times. So he's willing to commit adultery 490 times before he stops. A pastor, in fact, a Jew. When spiritual leaders are misleading us, when believers are falling right, left, right, and center, we need to speak up. You go to Ghana, take a trip to Ghana, reveal yourself as a pastor or a Christian or a minister, go to Liberia, go to Sierra Leone, those West African countries, go there. You'll be shocked at what you will hear. They will tell you about Nigerian pastors that they know of, and they will tell you their girlfriends. They are all over there. They will tell you the girls that they arrange for them when they come in the suites where they stay. Nigerian pastors.
They're not speaking up anymore. Nobody's speaking up.
Very soon, it will become normal. I used to tell my wife, I said, another 2 years, we won't know what is right anymore. Because everybody will be doing it, including the people who should correct us. If we will all be doing it, we won't know any difference anymore. Anything different, we won't know anymore. What is different, we will never know it. Because we're not speaking up. Speak up when there's injustice in society. A lot of times, you know, we walk past, we see people being badly treated, we walk past. Remember one day, they were dragged, this, what do they call them? What do they call these tags that they give, they put under an umbrella? Is it MOT? No, there wasn't MOT then. These ones are just, they're just raw tags. They have government backing. And they were dragging this fellow out of his tax. The man refused to come out. This one was on this side, kicking him. Another one was outside, pulling him. There was a policeman with a gun. We were on the, what do you call that bridge now? Rumola, that one lane bridge. I parked the car there, I opened the door, and said, let there be traffic. Leave this man alone. Why are you killing him? Because he will not, what is it you want to get from him? But there were people passing by, left, right, they were just walking by. And that boy was being killed. In fact, I didn't notice, it was my wife who was shouting. I said, why are you shouting? What's your business? Then I looked, I saw what they were actually doing. I said, no, this is not. And then I went, and they stopped. As I was walking away, one of them ran after me and said, where's your ID? Who are you? I said, I'm a citizen. He said, next time, don't interfere in our business. I said, look, what is going on? That's what is happening. We will blame society, but we have not played our role. Psalm 12, verse 1 and 2. Psalm 12, verse 1 and 2. Help, Lord, the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips, and with a double heart do they speak. Let's cry to God, say, Lord, help! We don't even know what is right anymore. This godly man, listen, faithful men are failing amongst the children of men. Those who stood for truth before are falling now. Because they seem to be standing alone. Remember Elijah? When Jezebel came after him and Iraq, he said to God, Lord, I'm the only one. God said, no, I have 7,000 others. You know the reason why Elijah did not know there were 7,000 others? They were not speaking up. He was the only one speaking up. If the people knew that there were 7,000 others who would speak up along with Elijah, they wouldn't have pursued Elijah that way. They would have had to dissipate their armies in 7,001 different directions. So I say, I'm a Christian. They look at me. They say, oh, don't mind them, they are guys. Then this man stands and says he's a Christian. They asked a man of God, Tunde Bakari, pressman asked him, why is it that you are the only one that government is always arresting? Is it not that they are doing something wrong? He said to the journalist, wrong question. What you should be asking is, why are they not arresting others? Is it not because they are supporting them? That's the truth. The Bible says, what union has light? What fellowship has the believer with the unbeliever? When did the church and the state become partners? When? If God never intended partnership between Christ and the world, never. He said it boldly. You are in the world, but you are not of the world. You are not a part of the world. But I've left you in there for a light in this dark world. Brethren, speak up for righteousness. Speak up. When you find people giving wrong interpretation to scripture, when you find people practicing what they claim to be scripture and is not scripture, speak up. Let's stop shrouding things and explaining things away. Let's speak up. A man, a married man, will be slapping his wife around and saying she must submit. This is not your slave. That's not the meaning of submission. Submission is something that the fellow submitting does willingly. The fellow refuses to submit, leave the fellow alone. A woman who is married will not submit to her husband and will say she's praying. What prayer? In which Bible? That's not scriptural. Let's stop supporting iniquity. Beat the man, beat the woman. There's no need to support one person over the other. That makes us partial judges. Single sister is looking for a husband and she begins to dress in an amorous manner. And we say, sisters, you have to be presentable. You have to dress in a way that will make men come. I guarantee you, the men who are coming are flies. They are coming to fetch. They will take what they want to take, and they will get away. It's time to speak up. Matthew chapter 23. Matthew 23. The Lord Jesus spoke up against the leaders of his day. If a man were to preach a sermon now and mention a particular pastor, they say, oh, he has no respect. He has no regard. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. In other words, obey the scriptures, but please don't follow them. Because even though they preach the truth, they don't practice what they preach. Was it Victor Wife who sang that song? What's that song now? Like Father, Like Son. I don't know how many of you grew up to hear that song. Follow my footsteps, do what I say, but don't go astray, because I want to give you all my love. Now, we are very young people, you don't understand what we are talking about. Verse 4. For they bind heavy burden and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. They would give laws without help. Brother of mine said to me, "Say Ray, one thing I don't find in the messages today is how to live a holy life. I hear a lot of holiness, 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 but they don't tell me how I should live it as I ought to." And I kept that in my pocket, because that's true. We are teaching people to live holy by rules and regulations. It didn't help the Old Testament Israelites. How do I live holy? Yield to the Holy Spirit. Simple. Have the Holy Spirit inside of you and let Him lead you and guide you. Simple. It's not rules and regulations. No. But you see, as you read the scriptures, you will see that if you are living holy, this will be there, that will be there, that will be there. Now you are living holy. It's like saying, I need mango, so I want mango to germinate. You have not planted the seed. You have not watered the seed. The tree has not grown, but you want mango. You plant the proper seed, water it, allow it to grow to fruition, and what will happen? Mango will come out. So you do what you're supposed to do. Get born again, genuinely born again. Submit your life to Jesus Christ. Follow His word. And yield yourself to the Spirit of God. And your life will change. It's as simple as that. The moment you do that, if you are doing something wrong, an alarm bell will go off inside of you. So what are you doing? You will begin to speak to yourself. What are you doing? For many, the Holy Spirit is speaking, but they don't hear anymore. So they come to church, they hear the word. It doesn't mean anything to them. They just continue to live as they want to live. Just read the whole of 23. And you will see where he begins to speak woes to scribes and to Pharisees, calling them hypocrites. A hypocrite is a man who preaches one thing and does another. A hypocrite is a man who preaches one thing and consistently does another thing. It's not as if he preached one thing now and is trying to change. No. He preaches one. He knows I am never going to change. But he will preach it anyway. Say, well, that's my duty. The next thing is elsewhere, doing whatever he wants to do. I was a female preacher in the United States let me mention the names. Paula White was having an affair with her bodyguard while being married. And she would go to programs and hyperventilate. The Lord said, and the boy would be sitting down there, knowing that after this so-called powerful anointing, I'm having her in the bed. Do you think that boy will be born again? What message is she going to preach to him? And all those who know that this is Paula White's boyfriend on the corner. And she's married. Or was married. Now she's divorced. And still preaching. The other day I heard on radio, Nigerian radio, of a lady who has a church. I don't know why I did not pick the name. I want to look for that church and go there and tell the people there that you better get out of this place. Oh, the lady said she had a crush on Crystal Cotier, but he wasn't looking at her. So she went with another young man. They lived together, and that fellow was the one who helped her to start the ministry. Now she's a pastor. And the commentator said, you know, God works in mysterious ways. I almost slapped the lady. Shut up! Which God are you talking about? What mystery is that? Maybe mystic, but not mystery. And somebody else will hear and say, it's true, God works in mysterious ways. So what I am doing right now, there's nothing wrong with it. Who knows, maybe that's how God will also lead me to my own destiny. Speak up. Speak up. You don't know what will happen tomorrow. You might be next. Start speaking up now. Start speaking up now. Why should I speak up? When I should, not when I can. Because if you speak up when you can, you may never be able to. You know, when you can is dependent on your ability. And if you say, where should I speak up? I want to speak up when I can. Many of us will go and hold on to all kinds of things. I'm going to need a church. I'm going to need a pulpit. I'm going to need chairs. I'm going to need Bibles. I need to be able to study. By the time you put in place the infrastructure that you require to speak up, you won't be able to speak. Some other times you would say, I need a radio station, and there is no available radio station. But there's a megaphone. Oh, there's one young man. I don't know who that fellow is. He disturbs this area 5 a.m. every day, preaching that we should be born again. I say, thank God. At least there's somebody who can wake up at that time and be making noise and say we should be born again. All you need is a megaphone. You go to one place or the other and put it there. You can even come to a church on a Sunday while they're preaching and put your megaphone there and say, you preacher, I saw you. So if you want to make noise, I will show you the photograph. It's time. Let's be sincere. I had a message when I was a young believer. Who are you when no one is watching? And there's no one watching. That message sent chills into my heart. For the first time, I became aware that someone is always watching. Even when I think God is not watching, He is watching. If you want to speak up when you can, by the time you get around to speaking, it may be too late. Why should I speak up for righteousness when I should? You may be the only one that God has left behind to speak up for all you care. You just might be the only one. There's a saying that a lot of people are waiting for who will bail the cat. I don't know how many of you remember that the story that gave rise to who will bail the cat. Who will go and put the bell around the cat so that the cat will know when the cat is coming. And then we can all, was it the mice that had a meeting? This cat had been devastating them and eating them. So they decided that there must be a way of us knowing when this cat is coming. So somebody brought a brilliant idea. Let's put a bell around the neck. It's beautiful. Now who will go and put the bell around the neck of that cat and not be eaten? So that was the problem. The bell was there. The cat was there. The neck of the cat was available. But who will take the bell there? And the cat will not consume both the fellow and the bell. Brothers and sisters, you may be the only one left that God is counting on. That's the truth. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5 verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. If the salt has lost its savor, men cast it off
it is of no use.
Women understand what I'm talking about. And maybe a few bachelors here will know that when you cook, you just need a pinch of salt. You put a pinch, you put a spoon, you put a pepper, and the only thing that is changing is the concern of the salt inside the thing. There's no taste. What do you do with that salt? It's as good as sand. It's of no use. That is what is happening in the world today. There are so many Christians in this pot called the world, but there's no taste. That's why men have grabbed us and we are just being thrown aside. We have no use. They come to our gathering thinking they will hear something that will chastise them, that will change the way they live. When they come, we give them comfort. Alas, it's the same thing. Okay, let's go back. 9/11 in the United States of America. This was filled. The churches were full the following Sunday. And what did the preachers have to say? We must go after the terrorists. We need to go to Afghanistan. President Bush, get your troops out. What did they leave the church with that day? Anger, revenge, bitterness. They didn't hear anything about God. When one man said, America is being judged by God, they were looking for that man's neck. That we must kill him. Who is he to tell us that our loved ones who died, they love their loved ones more than God? Why should I speak up for righteousness when I should? Because silence means consent. Every time I keep quiet when things are going wrong around me, I am consenting. In Acts chapter 8, first verse, the Bible tells us that when they were stoning Stephen, Paul was there, Saul of Tarsus was there. He didn't stone, but what did the Bible say? He was consenting. He didn't say stop the stoning. The more I keep quiet, the more I'm signing on with those who are performing iniquity. The more I'm keeping myself on the same side as those who are doing the wrong things. Why should I speak up when I should? Because silence is the breeding ground for the perpetration of evil. All I need to do is to keep quiet, and evil will continue. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 3. 2 Chronicles 15, verse 3. Bible says, now for a long season, Israel have been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. If you look at verse 5, verse 4 is talking about what they did and the change. But go to verse 5. It says, and in those times, there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexation were upon all the inhabitants of the countries, and the nation was destroyed of nation and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. The knowledge of God was not known. The priests were not teaching. Nobody was hearing the truth that was in the word of God. And so iniquity continued. And things continued unabated. Let me tell you the honest truth. Each time you keep quiet when wrong things are happening, when unrighteousness is being practiced, you are perpetrating it. You are allowing it to grow. It's growing and growing and growing. Let's look at our scripture text again. What was the first thing that went wrong? The people came to Aaron and said, make us a god. Aaron kept quiet. And he said, give us your earrings. Now, even if Aaron was consenting, what of her? What of the 70 other elders who were there on the mount when Moses said to them that, let Aaron be the leader? They couldn't have said, Aaron, what are you doing? They kept quiet. Then they made the gold calf. And they kept quiet. When the people said, this be thy God, they all kept quiet. And what did Aaron do? Aaron said, in fact, let me make an altar in front of this thing. Aaron was making the altar, and they kept quiet. They didn't say, or guy Aaron, you are going too far with this thing. No. I thought we are trying to buy time. He said, no. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. They didn't, no word from them. And then Aaron announced, when he saw that the people were excited, tomorrow, we are making a feast. And they all kept quiet. The more silent they were, the more impetus Aaron had to drag these people deeper and deeper and deeper into idolatry. We are keeping quiet
May God have mercy on us.
All manner of churches today say, that church, if you see how people are growing, when they get to the church, what are they telling them?
People from your father's family are the ones doing it.
I remember years ago, I was not even a believer. I went to see my mom. My mom then was in one of these strange churches where they say they are doing work. She was covered with white things all over her body. I mean, everything. She was just open there. So I went, I said, no, I'm going to wait outside there. So apparently she couldn't come out. I said, sorry, I'm not going in there. So she came out. Finally, they had to allow her to tie her up. In fact, that day I would have gone in there to meet the head of that church. There's something wrong with you. He came with a wrapper, came out. What are you doing here? She said, I'm doing something for you. I said, for me. He said, why? Sir, you don't know your father's family, they are trying to do. Look at my brother. An adult. I couldn't believe it. An adult. My father's family. I said, yeah. I said, this is your church. Then I didn't have a job. I said, how come they don't see when there's vacancy in Shell? Or in Chevron? To tell you, call your son from Lagos to come and apply. I will gladly come and sit down and be chucked, so that I can get that employment. But you didn't see that one. It's the one that they are doing me in my own father's house. That's the one you are saying. Thank God my mom has been delivered from that. By the grace of God, she's born again. I just pray that she will continue to walk as a child of God till she goes. When she came to stay with us the other day, she began to tell us the story of how they told her that she must never go near her own senior brother. That, the man is planning to kill her. So she kept away from her senior brother for years. Then one day she couldn't have it anymore. How can she not see her senior brother? So she went. And everything they told her not to do, she did. Apparently she had been born again then. So she went. She went to greet him. Said they should bring food, she's hungry. They were looking at her, you want to eat? Because they knew what she was saying before about that. Said yes. Brought the food, she ate, she drank, she did everything. She stayed the whole day and she went back. When she got back home, the church people came and said, where did you go? We've been looking for you. She said, I went to my village. Said, I hope you didn't go to see that young. In fact, I'm just coming from his house. I hope you didn't eat. I ate. I hope I drank. So they were waiting for her body to swell. And the body didn't swell. That was the day she knew that this thing is wrong. Brethren, speak up when you should. Because sin has the capacity to multiply rapidly and can soon become the norm. So that the line between sin and uprightness becomes blurred. We don't even know what is true anymore. Can I let you into one little thing that many of us don't know? If you're a child of God and you're struggling with something, it's a good sign that you're struggling against God. The reason why you have struggles is because you don't want to go in. If you are going with God, it is smooth. Even when there is a challenge, God enables you to bulldoze the challenge. It is smooth. But whenever you are having hiccups, you're having this struggle, that struggle, check it. It's God you are resisting. Sin has the capacity to multiply. And then when it is unchecked, that's something else. And like I said earlier on, another reason why you have to do that is because generations can continue in darkness. Generations can continue in darkness and nothing will happen. There was a scripture I was supposed to read earlier on. Sorry, and I need to read that scripture. Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3 from 17. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. You cannot be a watchman when you have not heard the word of God from his mouth. In fact, not only do you hear, Ezekiel had to eat it. He said it was sweet in my mouth, but it became bitter in my stomach. When you have swallowed the word of God, it may be exciting in your palates, but when it gets deep in your stomach, it will begin to make your stomach to cringe.
Because you wonder how you are going. You know, sometimes God gives you a word and you say, Lord, are you sure you want me to say this thing? Give me another one. Give me one that the people will be excited. I say, no, that's the one, that's the message that you have to go and tell them. And then this is what it said in verse 18. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Many of us don't know the amount of blood that we are carrying. The wicked man will die, there's no question. But because we kept quiet, God says, I will require. In verse 19, he says, yes, if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou shalt have delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness, and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man, then that the righteous will sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also, thou hast delivered thy soul. Why do I go to church? I go to church to hear the word of God. Why? Because the word of God chastises. The word of God rebukes. The word of God is there for reproof. It's there for correction. It's there to discipline me. The word of God is not there to make me happy. No, that's not why it's there. That's not why it's there. It's not there to make me excited. No. The word of God is there to everything that I did last week. That was wrong. God will say, okay, I will do this one again. Okay, I will do this one again. Okay, I will do this one again. But when you have done something wrong, you come to church on Sunday, and I tell you, you are blessed. Receive. Yeah. And you're jumping up excited. What of the iniquity you did last week? What of the one, the deal you're about to sign on Monday? But I tell you, you are blessed. And so you are blessed. And you are happy. So after a while, you said, there's nothing wrong with what I did last week. It's not my pastor. God knew I was there. He didn't say anything. Because the watchman has refused to speak up. Not speaking up when you should can be a problem. Galatians chapter 2. Saul or Paul had to speak up against Peter at one time. Galatians chapter 2 from 11 to 17. Paul had been in the region of Galatia, had spoken to them the good news, they were excited, they received it with joy, and then they left. That's Paul left. By the time Paul came back, he was just hearing all kinds of things. He couldn't believe that these same people who had received the word with gusto were now practicing something else. So he fired them this letter. He lambasted them. In Bible school, they will tell you to treat your congregation gently because they are the ones feeding you. That Bible school got it wrong. It is God who is feeding you, not your congregation. Your congregation is not there to tell you what to say. Your congregation is there because they themselves are waiting for you to tell them what God wants them to hear. One occasion, Paul was with Peter, a foremost apostle, and he witnessed something that was horrible. And this is what he wrote. He said, verse 11, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face, to the face. Is that in your Bible? Paul withstood an apostle, Peter. Who would do that today? Who do you know that would withstand a foremost apostle in this country or anywhere in the world today with boldness? Because he was to blame. He was to be blamed. People would tell you, no. You know, that's our culture. We have allowed culture to mix with scripture. They say we give honor to elders. We give honor to that and so on and so forth. I remember we had a lady in our church in America. She passed. And she had belonged to this big church before she passed. So we didn't have a place, we were renting a place there. That church was there. So we said, okay, let's have her funeral service there. The way they do funerals in America is different from the way we do it here. They have what they call a eulogy, where somebody comes to eulogize the dead. They only talk about the dead. This person was this, was that. They talk about the great things that person did. That's how they do it. But meanwhile, when they drew up the program, the family said, Pastor, we want you to take a reading from the New Testament. Pastor Grace will take a reading from the Old Testament. And then we'll want you, at the end of it all, to make an altar call. I said, okay, no problem. So that was how the program was arranged. So the bishop of the church was a very prominent man. Had given the eulogy. Beautiful eulogy. As long as that human being was concerned. And after the eulogy, he stepped down to go and greet the family. And then he invited me that we'll call Pastor Eli now to come and close the meeting. So everybody got up for the closing of the meeting. But I remember that they said they wanted me to make an altar call. So I asked, please let's be seated. Bishop was still shaking hands. I asked everyone to sit down. So they sat down. At least I was in front of the pulpit at that time. And then gave a few scriptures. And made an altar call. From the woman's family and from some other people, they raised up their hands. And we prayed with them. After we left, in fact, the way they treated us like lepers, as we filed out with all the ministers, and we got to a place, after the prayer, they just walked away from us and said, what was going on? So we left. Then somebody called and said, Pastor, we were blessed by the altar call. You know, it was nice, it was good. But a pastor, a lot of people said you were disrespectful to bishop. I said, I'm in trouble today. So my wife, of course, was upset that which kind of husband do I have now who will go to another man's church and be disturbing their sanctity? So I think while she was praying, the Holy Spirit said to her that, what's that thing? That spiritual authority? What was the size of Jesus' church? Basically, bottom line was that spiritual authority does not have to do with the size of the church. Special authority is about whom God has given. Eh? So it's derived from God. You can caution anybody who is going wrong. Sometimes, in fact, most times, it is good to caution the man of God before he goes too far. Caution him at that time. But our cultures intermingle with these things and we can't speak up. Oh, some will say, you don't chastise an elder in public. You have to go in quiet. If I chastise you in quiet, and you don't change. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? How will anybody know that you have been corrected? A man of God came to Nigeria, a Nigerian, but overseas, and began to wonder why the prominent pastors, the ones that everybody respected in Nigeria, were not speaking against the ills of bad governance and other things. And one of the men of God replied in a different forum that, you see, we speak to the president, but you know, you don't chastise an elder in public. Otherwise, he will not take the chastening right. Who cares? That was King Saul's problem. He did not want to be chastised in public. So he said to someone, at least come and worship with me before the people. And he went to hell. In verse 12, for before that, certain came from James. He did eat with the Gentiles. Peter was eating with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. Barnabas, who ordinarily would not have done that, now began to tilt in that direction. Because Peter was doing it. It was normal. So Barnabas must have felt, maybe I didn't get this thing right. Maybe I didn't learn it very well when they taught me in Bible school in Jerusalem. Apostle Peter has disengaged from the Jews, from the Gentiles. Let me also disengage. Meanwhile, Barnabas was a preacher, a teacher, and a prophet and apostle in that church in Antioch, which was filled with Gentiles. Verse 14. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, not according to my imagination, I said unto Peter, before them all. Did he say to Peter in private? In public, because that was where he goofed.
And he had caused others to prove along with him. It had to be done publicly. If thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as the Jews, why compel thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature are not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. He brought Peter under the table. So what are you doing? What's wrong with you? Peter always had a way of making an excuse for his actions. Always had a way of making an excuse for his actions. Until Paul confronted him with it. My brothers and my sisters, I close now. Unchecked, these deviations can become something else. The Bible tells us in Galatians 5:9, it says, a little leaven leaveneth what? The lump. A little leaven, and the entire lump is leavened. A little thing here, a little thing there, and everything goes topsy-turvy. Revelations chapter 2, verse 18. Revelations 2:18. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works and charity and love, and service and faith, and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman, Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce many servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. They kept inviting Jezebel to church to come and preach powerfully. And by her preaching and by her teaching, Jezebel had become someone who was now leading the church into fornication, into adultery, into idolatry, and all kinds of things. The Bible says that it is the spirit that gives life. The letter does what? Kill. It is the spirit of the preacher that matters. Not so much what he is saying, but the spirit behind him. That is why in Nigeria, every government comes and preaches against corruption. But what happens to corruption? Because the people preaching against corruption are themselves corrupt. A pastor who is committing adultery in secret and stands and says, "That shall not commit adultery," that church will commit adultery because the pastor is doing it. Every time I find a church where there's a prevalence of a particular thing, I go straight to the head. There's no need to waste your time looking at the people. You go to the head because that's where it came from. It's either the head is doing it, or the head permits it. He may not be doing it, but he may not be able to speak against it. That was the problem of this church. They forever invited Jezebel, and never spoke against Jezebel. And the Lord Jesus said, "I have this against you." Let us pray. I perceive that the Almighty God is challenging us this day to search our hearts and to find out within us if we have become people who are concurring to evil. Peradventure, we have kept quiet and silent over iniquity for so long that we ourselves are beginning to engage in it. Search your heart. What is preventing you from speaking up? Is it because you are doing it yourself now? Why is it that the church of God is keeping quiet whilst iniquity is being perpetrated in the land by members of the same church? Search your heart.